All right, my friends, if you have your Bibles, open them up to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, this Wednesday night at 11:59 p.m. The world will be watching as the big giant ball in Times Square drops and carries us from 2025 into 2026. It's probably an overstatement to say the world will be watching, because I at least will be asleep by 9:30 or 10 o'clock on Wednesday night. How many of you plan to watch the ball drop on Wednesday night? My wife will still be awake, but I'll be asleep. How many of you plan to be asleep by 9:30? That's what I'm talking about. You're my people right there. You are my people. Hey, the end of the year is always a really good time to kind of reflect back on the previous year, and then to look ahead and plan ahead for the year that's coming. We look back on the year that was 2025, and we look ahead to the year that will be 2026. Today, we're going to kind of do that as a church. We'll look back on 2025, and then we'll look ahead to 2026. Today is a day that we're going to focus really on three vital principles for First Baptist Church in Moberly. Three vital principles for 2026 for First Baptist Church in Moberly. We're going to consider our mission statement. That's why we exist. Secondly, we're going to consider our vision statement. That's where we're going. And then thirdly, we're going to consider our ministry strategy. That's how we get there. And here is the foundational principle for every day of every year when it concerns First Baptist Church Moberly. Here's the foundational principle about us. Are you ready? This church, First Baptist Church Moberly, this church belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not my church. This is not your church. This church belongs to the Lord. He purchased the church with His own blood. He owns the church, which means this. This is His church. Thus, this is His mission. This is His church. Thus, this is His vision. He defines our mission and vision, and He defines our ministry strategy. Our mission, our vision, our ministry strategy is not just something that we concocted up in a dark room somewhere. We didn't just dream this up. A couple of people didn't just plan this up. You want to know how we got our mission, vision, and ministry strategy? We opened up the Bible and we saw what God said. And then we said, how do we apply this to our church? We prayed for God to reveal His word to us. And we constantly check everything we do with one question. Is this what the Lord wants? Why? Because this is the Lord's church. And we want what He wants. We, collectively and individually, we exist for His purpose. So this isn't my mission, vision, and ministry strategy. This is the Lord's, taken directly from His playbook called the Bible. And there's a very good chance, if you've been here for any length of time, there's nothing new you're going to hear today. There's nothing. I'm not going to share a new mission with you. I'm not going to share a new vision or a new ministry strategy. You've heard our mission, our vision, and our ministry strategy, but we need to be reminded of what those are. Today, we're going to be in three passages of Scripture. It's going to be different for us. Normally, we look at one passage of Scripture, and we go through that one passage of Scripture. Today, we're going to begin in Matthew, and then for the second point for our vision, we're going to flip to Titus, and then for our final point, our ministry strategy, we're going to flip to the book of Ephesians. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 28. So with your Bible open and in hand, please stand as we honor the public reading of God's Word, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Here's what God's Word says to us this morning. The Bible says this. Jesus came near to them and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for the day. Thank you for your word that guides us, not just as individuals, but as a church. Father, I pray that today as we look back on 2025 and plan for 2026, I pray that you would align our plans with your heart. Your word says that many are the plans in man's heart, but it's your purposes that prevail. So Father, we hand these plans over to you. We hand our mission, our vision, our strategy over to you. We pray, God, that you would align us with your will, with your heart, and help us to honor you as we collectively as a church do all that we can to bring you glory. We love you, Lord, and we pray all of this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. You can be seated. This is worth repeating. It's worth you hearing it multiple times. This church belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's His church, and as such, He defines our mission, our vision, and our strategy. And our mission statement is found right there in Matthew chapter 28. That's our first point of the day. The mission is this. Here's our mission. Our mission is to glorify God by reaching the lost and equipping the saved. You can find that in your bulletin every single week if you read your bulletin. It's found underneath the order of service every single week. That same thing is found. Mission statements are crucial. It's crucial. Mission statements define why we exist. They also keep us focused on our purpose. Every single organization, not-for-profit, for-profit, every organization needs a mission statement. And I'll say this, you as an individual believer in Christ, you need a mission statement for your life. Every organization needs one. Here's just a couple. See if you can guess who these mission statements belong to. I'm going to read the mission statement, and then you tell me, who do you think this mission statement belongs to? Here's the first one. These are companies. We exist to give people the power to share and to make the world more open and connected. What's your guess? Did you say AC/DC? Oh, AT&T. I couldn't figure out how you got to AC/DC on that one. It is not AT&T. Any other guesses? Huh? Google. It is not Google. What'd you say over here? Google. Facebook. Who said that? Roll Tide, brother. Roll Tide. That's Facebook. They exist to give people the power to share and to make the world more open and connected. Here's the second one. We exist to organize the world's information and make it universally accessible and useful. Google, you nailed it. Well done. Here's the third one. We exist to make delicious, feel-good moments easy for everyone. Pillsbury. Nope, not Pillsbury. What? Betty Crocker? Not Betty Crocker. Oh, man. Their mission is to make good rolls. Texas Roadhouse. This is the mission of McDonald's. They exist to make delicious, feel-good moments easy for everyone. Here's my question. How are they doing? The word delicious is a little questionable, isn't it? One more. This one might surprise you. We exist to glorify God by being a faithful steward and having a positive influence. Chick-fil-A. It is Chick-fil-A. The Lord's chicken right there. They're closed on Sunday. Chick-fil-A. So you see how mission statements are. They're short, they're sweet, they're simple, they're simple, and that's by design because mission statements need to be memorable. You want to be able to remember your mission statement. We exist to glorify God by reaching the lost and equipping the saved. And really, that's just a brief summation of what we just read from Matthew chapter 28. That's a brief summation of the Great Commission. There is a lot that we could say about these few verses. But I just want to point out two things. First, we glorify God when we reach the lost. It is glorifying to God when we reach the lost. Look in your Bibles, Matthew 28, verse 19, and look at what Jesus said. He said, go therefore and do what? Make disciples. Go and make disciples of all nations. That word go is better understood as a present tense. Like as you go. Meaning this, as you live your life, make disciples. As you go about your day, make disciples. We are called as believers, as a church, to go to anyone who will listen about who Jesus is, what Jesus did, and why it matters. And we're called to share the faithful good news of the gospel. We're called to share that good news with our friends, with our neighbors, with our co-workers, with our family. As you go about your day, tell people about Jesus. The mission of the church is that we glorify God by reaching the lost. And we do that by going to the lost. Let me share with you what the Great Commission does not say. Here's what Matthew 28:19 does not say. It does not say, y'all sit here and wait and they'll come to you. That's not what it says. It doesn't say sit and wait. What does it say? Go and tell. The exact opposite. Go and tell the world about Jesus. As you go, as you live your life, when you go to work, when you go home, when you go to your neighbors, as you live your life, make disciples. Tell people about Jesus. And then what do? When those people make a profession of faith, well, look at your Bible. Verse 19, what does it say that we do? The very next step, baptize them. Go tell people about Jesus and then baptize them. We baptize new believers. And you have to notice the order. Evangelize, baptize, and then disciple. That's the order of the Great Commission. That's what it says. Look at Matthew chapter 28. Look in your Bible, verse 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Evangelize, reach the lost, and then baptize. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then disciple, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am always with you. I'm with you always, rather, to the end of the age. That's a logical process for us to follow. Evangelize, baptize, and disciple. But if we aren't careful, we get those kind of out of order, right? Like we tell people they got to get their act cleaned up before they can be saved. But that's not what the Bible says. You get saved, you get baptized, and then you get taught how to live according to God's Word. We glorify God when we reach the lost, and we glorify God when we equip the saved. Listen, every single time that we do a baptism here at First Baptist Church, we do a responsive reading. That's super intentional. And I know that can get a little repetitive, right? I mean, I get it. It can get repetitive. We say the same thing when someone is baptized. But it's super intentional. In that responsive reading, you, as the church family, you commit to praying for the individual who's being baptized. You commit to showing Christian love to them. And you commit to doing all you can to help them grow in the faith and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So why do we commit to doing those things? Why do we do a responsive reading? Why do we commit to teaching people about the Bible? Because that's what Jesus said in Matthew 28, 19. We baptize them, we evangelize them, we baptize the newly saved, and then we disciple them. We teach them how to properly handle the Word of God. And why is it in that order? Because new believers don't know how to properly handle the Word of God. You've got to teach new believers how to read the Bible, how to interpret the Bible, how to apply the Bible to your life. New believers don't know how to do that. How in the world could they? How in the world could they know how to apply the Bible to their life? All they know is that Jesus has died for their sins and they want to follow Him. And they step into the baptism waters, they make their faith public through a public profession of faith, and they step out of the baptism waters into a lifelong journey of discipleship. We equip them. We equip the saved. We teach them how to obey the Word of God. We teach them how to worship. We teach them how to have right and godly fellowship. We teach them how to handle God's Word through discipleship. We teach them how to pray. We teach them how to have godly fellowship. We teach them to reach the lost with the gospel. That's our mission. Defines who we are, why we exist. It keeps us focused on our purpose. We exist to glorify God by reaching the lost and equipping the saved. Secondly, I want you to notice our vision. Turn in your Bibles to Titus chapter 2. I'll give you a second to flip there. Titus 2. If you aren't sure where that is, just go all the way to the very back. Go to the book of Revelation. Start flipping backwards. You'll get to Hebrew. Go a few more pages and then you'll be in Titus. Titus chapter 2. If our mission defines who we are, then our vision defines where we are going. The vision is metaphorically looking down the road. Has anyone in the room, raise your hand if you've heard of a woman named Veronica Sider? I would be shocked if anyone's ever heard of her. Veronica Sider is a woman who's been described with superhuman vision. Perfect vision is 20/20. Veronica Sider doesn't have 20/20 vision. She has 20/2 vision. I know that didn't mean anything to y'all. Let me show. I had to look this up. I didn't know what that meant. Here's what that means. Rothwell Park is roughly 1 mile from this pulpit. If Veronica were here, she could stand at this pulpit, look down to Rothwell Park, assuming there were no trees and people to block, and she could accurately identify who you are from 1 mile away. Can you imagine that? Good luck throwing her a surprise party, right? I mean, she could stand a mile away and she could say, that's Chris, that's Carla, that's Shonda, that's Laura. And she would accurately get it right every single time. 20 over 2 vision. Last week, I left my glasses at home and I struggled to see my pulpit right here. That's not 20 over 2 vision. It was a struggle last week. I can't imagine having 20 over 2 vision. Vision helps us see what's in front of us. It helps us to see what's down the road. A good vision statement helps us to see where we're going, right? Our vision statement is this, that we desire to be a multi-generational sending church. To be multi-generational, it means this. It means that we want every generation gathered together in this place, on Sunday mornings, on Wednesday nights. When we gather together, we want every generation represented. We don't want to be a church for old people. We don't want to be a church for young people. We want to be a church for all people, multi-generations gathered together. We want grandmas and great-grandmas, grandpas and great-grandpas. We want moms and dads and sons and daughters. We want teenagers and toddlers. We want to be a church for every single generation. And listen, there are many places we go to in the Bible to point out this multi-generational picture. It's painted for us all over the Bible. Perhaps most clearly right here in Titus chapter 2. Look in your Bible and notice the generations that are represented in Titus chapter 2, verses 2 through 8. Here's what my Bible says from the Christian Standard Bible. It says, older men, there's one generation, right? Older men are to be self-controlled, worthy of respect, sensible and sound in faith, love and endurance. In the same way, older women are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not slaves to excessive drinking. They are to teach what is good so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands and to love their children, to be self-controlled, pure workers at home, kind and in submission to their husbands so that God's word will not be slandered. Verse 6, in the same way, encourage the young men to be self-controlled in everything. Make yourself an example of good works with integrity and dignity in your teaching. Verse 8, your message is to be sound beyond reproach, so that any opponent will not be ashamed because he doesn't have anything bad to say about us. The implication in those verses from Titus 2 is that there are multiple generations gathered together. There are older women and younger women and children all gathered together. Older women encouraging and teaching young women what it means to be a godly woman. Older men encouraging younger men, teaching them what it means to be a godly man. One generation faithfully proclaiming the good works and the good news of the Bible to the next. That's all over the Bible. Let me just read you a couple of examples. In Psalm 78, the psalmist writes this, that we will tell the works of God so the next generation might know them, even the children yet to be born. And they would in turn tell their children. Exodus chapter 12, here's what God said. He said, when your children, when the kids in your family ask about the Passover, tell them about it. Tell them about what it was and what it meant. Here's Esther chapter 9. Esther 9:28 says, these days are remembered and celebrated by every generation, by every family, by every province and every city. Multi-generational is God's design. When we gather in this place at 10:45 a.m., we want to see every single generation gathered together, represented, worshiping the Lord, old, young, and everything in between. We gather together, and then we are sent out. That's the second half of the mission statement. We want to be a multi-generational sending church. To be a sending church means that we send people out to live on mission. It means that we train and send members, you, members, attenders, to be missionaries for Jesus where they live, work, and play. To be a sending church means that we train and send out mission teams to serve on mission trips to places like Southeast Asia, Mexico, and wherever else the Lord has for us. To be a sending church means that we send people out to plant churches around the country, around our county, around our state. To be a sending church means that we train and send pastors out to preach. You know, there's a shortage of pastors. There are small bivocational, small rural churches that have bivocational positions open and they can't find a pastor. It is our job to train and send out pastors to preach. It's our job to identify the called, those who are called by God to serve Him in that way, to train them up and then to have a heartbreaking gospel goodbye as we send them down the road to serve in some place. We want to be a sending church. We want to send people out with the gospel of Jesus, to tell the world about who He is. And hear me when I say this. That includes you. All of you. It includes all of us being sent out from this place on mission to tell our neighbors, to tell our family. We want to tell the world about who Jesus is, where we live, work, and play. I mentioned this several times a few months ago. It's worth repeating again. You are a missionary for Christ before you are a member at First Baptist Church. You are sent out by Christ to tell people about Him. How many people do you think live in Randolph County? Take a guess. Some of you may know. 30,000. Too high? Any guesses? 24,000, roughly. 24,000 people live in Randolph County. Here's my question for you, church. What would it take for us to reach 1% of that population? Now, I'm not good at math. Preacher math is notoriously bad. Right now, there's 1,000 people here. That's what I see. That was supposed to be a joke. Wasn't funny. Didn't land. Help me with my math here, okay? 24,000 people. What is 1% of 24,000? 240. On an average Sunday here in 2025, we average about 150 people. I think, Laura, 157, 155. We average, on an average Sunday, there were 155 people. Clearly, there are many people gone today, holiday travel and all those things. But we average roughly, let's just make it easy, we average roughly 150 people on Sunday mornings. So what would it take for us to reach 90 more people in the next 3 years? What would it take for us to be averaging in this building 240 people representing multi-generations, gathered together, worshiping together? What would it take for us to make that happen by December 31st, 2028? You want to know what it would take? The Lord's blessing. And you want to know what the Lord blesses? His Word. Obedience to His Word. And you want to know what His Word says? Go and make disciples of all nations. Go tell all generations, older men training younger men, older women training younger women. Go tell the nations, tell the world, tell Randolph County. And when they make a profession of faith, baptize them. And after you've baptized them, teach them how to follow the Word. Teach them how to know the Word. And then repeat the process. Keep repeating the process. That's how we accomplish a goal like that, to reach 1% of Randolph County in 3 years. We obey the Word. We do what the Bible says to do. We do what God has said to do. We go and make disciples of all nations. That includes Randolph County. Our mission is to glorify God by reaching the lost, equipping the saved. Our vision is to become a multi-generational sending church. The strategy is how we get there. And our strategy is to empower the five ministry teams: worship, discipleship, evangelism, fellowship, and mission. Our strategy for getting there is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Now you need to know, there are a lot of ways you can serve at First Baptist. We have a bunch of committees here at First Baptist. We have the finance committee, the properties committee, the personnel committee, the nominating committee. We have several committees, and we have five ministry teams. Those five ministry teams, those represent the five functions of a New Testament church. For a New Testament church to exist, they must do these five things. First and foremost, they must worship. Worship is paramount. Worship is primary. Our worship team here at First Baptist, they help us to worship every Sunday. We worship through song. We worship through our giving. We worship through the preaching of the Word. Worship is paramount. It is foundational. If we do nothing else, we must worship. We must worship. We we worship. Next is our discipleship team. Our discipleship team helps us as a church to study the Bible so that we can obey the Bible. Discipleship begins with Bible study. It begins with Bible study, but it ends when we apply the Bible to our life. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 28, was it not? Teach them, that's Bible study, to obey. That's walking out the Bible, living the Bible, doing what the Bible says. The discipleship team helps us study the Bible so that we can obey the Bible. So if you have a passion for discipleship, you need to be on the discipleship team. Thirdly is our evangelism team. This team helps us go into our neighborhoods. The 10-2 project would have fit under the evangelism team's purview. They help us to plan and promote evangelistic events designed to engage our community with the gospel. And then we have the fellowship team. And I got to say a word about our fellowship team. They're incredible. I got to tell you this. Fellowship is not food. I know we're Baptist, but fellowship is not food. Food is the means by which we can fellowship. Not the only means, but it's one of the means by which we have fellowship. Fellowship is best understood as family, as partnership. It's this idea that we gather together and we laugh together and we cry together and we bear each other's burdens. It's this idea that we're family. That we're in this thing together. We laugh together, we cry together, we love one another, even though our pastor gets on our nerves, we still love him. We love one another. We're partners in the gospel. We have the worship team, we have the discipleship team, the evangelism team, the fellowship team, and lastly we have our mission team. And that mission team helps us to take the gospel around the world, to the ends of the earth, here, there, and everywhere. They help us be missions-minded and missions-active. And the strategy that we have is that these five teams, along with our committees, strive to discover and lead the church in their respective areas. In other words, the strategy that God has for us to accomplish His work, the strategy that He has for us is that you become equipped for the work of the ministry. That's our passage, Ephesians chapter 4. Let me just read it to you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. It says that God has given the church pastors and teachers and evangelists and prophets in order to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Why? Well, he goes on to tell us, so that the body of Christ will be built up. The Lord's mission, taken from His word, why we exist. We exist to glorify God by reaching the lost and equipping the saved. The Lord's vision, taken from His word, we desire to be a multi-generational sending church. And the Lord's strategy, taken from His word, we equip the saints for the work of the ministry. That's who we are, that's where we're going, and that's how we get there. And here's what I want you to do. Here's your take-home project. We're going to be on vacation next week, so you won't see me for 2 weeks from now. You'll see me on January 11th. So between now and then, here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray. And I want you to ask God what He has for you here at First Baptist Church. I want you to ask the Lord how He wants you to serve Him. And you do that by asking the Lord, how have you made me? Like how have you created me? Spend the next 2 weeks just asking the Lord, how have you gifted me? How have you made me? And how do you want me to use those gifts at First Baptist Church? Because, my friends, my brothers and sisters, you are a piece of the puzzle. And if you've ever done a puzzle, you know that every single piece matters. And you know that every single piece of the puzzle is made exactly to fit right where it's designed to fit. And you, my friends, you, my brothers and sisters, you are made to fit right here at First Baptist Church. Here's a one-sentence summary. Here at First Baptist Church, you don't just attend. We don't just attend. We're not just showing up. You belong. And we want to help you find exactly where you fit. We want to help you feel the joy from the Lord when you are committed to living His way, following His word, serving Him. There's a joy there that you're missing out on if you aren't doing that. And the truth is this, if we're going to accomplish the mission and vision of the Lord, if we're going to accomplish that, if we're going to accomplish the goal of reaching 1% of Randolph County in the next 3 years, it's going to take every single one of us, all of us, together doing our part. And so I just want you to pray and ask the Lord how He would have you to serve Him here at First Baptist Church. Maybe you already know the answer to that. Maybe you've been praying and you know where the Lord has you. You know how the Lord's made you. You know you should be on the discipleship team or the fellowship team or the evangelism team. You know you should be on the mission team. You know you need to go out and take the gospel. Maybe you know exactly where you should be. If that's you, if you know how you should be serving, then let's get to work, because we have a task that's unfinished, a task before us that is not yet done. We got to get to work. So if you know where you're called to serve, let's do it. Let's link arms. We'll train you. We'll resource you. We'll do all that we have to do to help equip you for the work of the ministry. Maybe you're here today or you're listening on the radio or online and you know that you need to be saved. You know that you don't know the Lord. If you died today, you know that you would not be heaven bound. If that's you, I have two simple instructions for you. Repent and believe. That's it. Repent of your sins. Repent of your error, the way you have sinned against God, and believe in the finished work of Christ. Believe that He is who the Bible says He is, that He did come to us. God became man, dwelled among us, lived a sinless life, died a sinner's death on the cross, was buried for 3 days, and rose from the dead, defeating death and hell for us. Repent and believe, and then be baptized next Sunday. If that's you, repent and believe. Come to faith. Come to know the Lord. Maybe you've been saved. Maybe you were saved long ago, but you've never been baptized. Let's do it. Get baptized. Maybe you know you need to take a leap of faith. Maybe you're called to ministry. I have no doubt in my mind there are people in this room right now of all ages who are called to ministry. I have no doubt in my mind there are people in this room. Maybe it's a teenager, maybe it's an older adult who's called to missions, living full-time as a missionary, either here at home in North America, planting a church somewhere, or overseas like Southeast Asia or Africa or Europe. God uses His church. He calls normal people like us to take His gospel around the world. Maybe that's you. Maybe you've been struggling with the call. Maybe you sense you've been called to ministry. If that's you, I want to encourage you to take a leap of faith. And I want to encourage all of us to attempt great things for the Lord in 2026. Let me end with a famous quote from William Carey. William Carey was the father of modern missions. And he said this, "Expect great things from God and attempt great things for God." Expect great things, attempt great things. So as we put 2025 to rest and look ahead to 2026, let's do that. Let's expect great things. Let's expect growth this year like we've never seen. Let's expect more baptisms than we've ever seen. And then let's go work, attempt to make those great things possible. Let's go tell people about who Jesus is. Let's make disciples of all nations. By doing that, let's bring glory to God. To Him alone be all the glory and all the praise, and all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word that equips us as individuals, for Your word that equips us as a church. Father, we're grateful for Your mission, Your vision, Your strategy, the way You've formed this church and made this church, the way You've given us clear instructions in the Bible. And Father, I pray You would help us to be obedient. Father, again, we submit these plans to You knowing that we can't make any of them happen. We submit these plans to You knowing that there's nothing we can do that's going to cause growth here. There's nothing we can do on our own to reach the lost. But You can do all things. You can use us. You can move through us. You can speak through us. You can empower us. And so, God, I pray that you would make us willing vessels. Make us willing conduits, people who are willing to serve you, wherever that is, whatever that looks like. Help us just to say yes. Help us to expect great things, and help us to attempt great things. And help us to always be mindful that we do all that we do here because this church belongs to you, not to us. And we seek your glory, not our own. Father, we pray you're glorified. We pray you're magnified. We pray you're made big by the decisions made in this room today and over the next several weeks and over the next several years. God, would you be glorified by every decision that's made? Father, if there's someone who needs to make a decision to follow you, would you help them to repent? Turn to you and believe and be saved. And Father, if there are those in the room who aren't yet plugged in, would you help them? Help them to get plugged in to serve you. Father, we don't want to just show up. We want to belong. We want to be fit together by you, to be used by you, to bring you glory. Would you help us to do that? We pray it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
Amen. Amen.